All right. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board on March 20th, 2009. This is an open meeting. I'd like to call it to order. And Mr. Secretary, can you take the roll?
Okay. It's 7:35, 8:35 Eastern Time. Jerry Gindelman?
Yes.
Connie Simmons?
Yes.
Andrea Turner? Joe Wanzala?
Yes.
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Lisa Radford?
Ashley
Radford? I'm sorry. Ashley Radford?
Yes, I'm here.
Rico Ross? Rico? George Ryder? Sandra Rawline?
Here.
Wendy Shrell? Susan Young?
Here.
Nia Bediako? Carolyn Burton?
Here.
Kathy Davis?
Here.
Jamie Ross?
Here.
Jim Brown?
Here.
A.C. Bird? Lizette King? David Beaton? Ifeah Wangaza?
Here.
We have quorum.
Okay, very good.
Right. Andrea Turner here.
George Ryder here.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Next thing is the approval of the agenda. Are there any corrections, amendments, additions to the agenda?
Grace, this is Sandra.
Yes, Sandra.
Yes, I would like to add the Personnel Committee. We have some motions to present to the board under item 5.
Under item 5. Did we leave off the Personnel Committee? That's a grievous error.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's add the Personnel Committee in there after elections.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Grace, Carolyn here?
Yes.
I'd like to move up the HR director and put that after the finance and governance.
Well, that was coming up in a personnel committee motion, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
What would you like to move personnel up?
Well, if that's what it takes, whatever it takes to make sure we don't run out of time on it.
Okay. Would anyone like to second that motion?
A second.
Okay. And Carolyn, is that for after governance or before governance?
Is governance going to be lengthy?
It's finance, and then the Strategic Recovery Plan Committee reconvening, and then governance.
Perhaps right after finance. I just want to make sure we don't run out of time.
Okay. And can that be second in terms of the placement on the agenda?
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. Is there any objection to placing the Personnel Committee report and motions after the Finance Committee? Hearing none, that agenda change will be made. Are there any other changes or amendments to the agenda?
Yeah, this is George. We have two other motions from, actually two motions in all. One of them will be moot. I want to move the time allotted from 5 minutes to 10 minutes.
Okay. Anyone second that?
Second.
All right. Any objections to that? All right. Hearing none, that amendment is going to be in there.
Rico Ross is on.
And so is Wendy.
Okay. And any other additions, amendments, changes to the agenda? All right. Hearing none, we will.
Madam Chair, was that last one to governance?
Governance,
yes.
Yes. Making it from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. And before we go on, Sandra, how many minutes do you need for the personnel committee?
Let's start with the 10 minutes.
Okay. So if there's no objection, we'll put 10 minutes on the agenda for the personnel committee. All right. Is there any objection to entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Okay. Any objection to adopting this agenda as amended? Hearing none, this agenda will be accepted. Next thing is approval of the minutes. We have no back minutes to approve at this meeting. Has everyone reviewed the minutes for the last meeting, which was March 8th of 09? All right.
Move there approval, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there
That's
a second
Susan.
To that?
Second.
Okay. Any objections to approving the last set of minutes? Actually, I have a little correction myself, Richard, and that's that in the minutes approval, you have PNB open meeting minutes 3809, and there's an extra 8 and 09.
Okay. What page is that on?
That's on the first page after B, first part of the agenda. No, it's not in the minutes itself. It's actually in the agenda. I'm sorry. Forget about this. Looking at the agenda and correcting the agenda. Okay. Any objections?
It's already been approved.
Yeah. Okay. Any objections to approving the minutes from the last meeting? All right.
Madam Chair, can I ask one question?
Go ahead.
Is Nia Bediako or A.C. Bird, Lisette King, or David Beaton come in? Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, our next thing on our agenda is acknowledgments. Does anyone have an acknowledgment?
This is George. I have one.
Okay, George.
I want to acknowledge Drew Dobenspeck. He's a local activist who's been chairing our local community advisory board and also the board itself. So they put together a very useful report on community needs and as well as an assessment of the functioning of the LSB itself, and it's greatly appreciated locally.
Thank you, George. Any other acknowledgments?
I'd like to acknowledge Ursula Rudenberg and Teresa Allen, members of the, Ursula as affiliates coordinator, a program coordinator, and Teresa Allen as affiliates task force members who helped to organize the previous task force meeting for this month, which was very exciting, very energetic, and very informative, most notably by including other affiliate members, new meaning new participants, although they were longstanding Pacifica affiliates who brought a very fresh an exciting perspective to the meeting and to the discussion. And I applaud them in that those who attended reported having reached all of their pledge goals despite the financial downturn with which we're struggling, and I think might even be helpful as consultants to us. So hats off to Teresa and Ursula and to Pacifica affiliates.
Thank you.
Who's making that?
Thea.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam,
thank you.
I'd like to make an acknowledgement. Rico Ross.
Okay, go ahead, Rico.
I'd like to give kudos to all the fundraisers of different stations and affiliates at this difficult time, and also like to, as most of you probably know, that luckily KPFK was able to actually meet their goal in these hard times, and I think that's due to the work that the people put into that fund drive, and they should be given all the credit thereof. I also like to say that Sandra Rowland has a great job in the personnel committee, convening it, getting people together. I know she was dumped in and thrown in the deep end, but she has grabbed a hold of it, and it's a very important. They're very important positions that we're dealing with. And she has taken it upon herself to make sure these things happen in a timely fashion. I think she's a role model for other directors.
Thanks, Rico.
This is Susan.
Yes, Susan.
I would like to acknowledge the group at KPFT that made a wonderful fundraiser and 39th birthday celebration possible here in Houston. I forwarded information about it. We had volunteers all day long and a team of volunteers. The venue donated the space. We had musicians, unbelievable musicians, Joe Ely and Hamilton Loomis and a whole group that played from noon until about 8 o'clock. Despite very bad weather, we raised $12,000, which offsets a day of fun drive for us.
Thank you, Susan. Any other acknowledgments?
Yeah, this is George. I have one more.
Okay.
Both Otis and John L. Miller were otherwise occupied for the Governance Committee meeting, and I want to thank Chris Sampson for stepping into the breach and making it possible for us to stream the last Governance Committee meeting.
Thank you. Any other acknowledgments? All right, hearing none, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda. However, Jamie, would you be willing to be timekeeper again for this meeting?
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now the next item on the agenda is my report as both the chair and the interim executive director. Susan suggested that, in the interest of time, that I forego that and just have it in writing because I did give it to you in writing. But I'd like to put that before you. Would you like to make that into a motion?
Sure. I move that the chair and IED report be posted in writing and that this agenda item be to be available for questions from the PNB.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Point of information. This is Leslie. Has everyone received I've got the IED report. I don't have the chair report.
I didn't write a written chair report. There is really nothing of substance for me to report.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to go ahead and send that motion that Susan made.
Okay. Is there any objection to foregoing this for this meeting and having it appended to the minutes in writing? Instead,
I'd like to amend the motion.
Okay.
This is Vicki. I'd like to amend the motion amend it to ask that the chair would do at least a summary. People who are listening on an open meeting don't know what the report says and don't have the benefit of the report for the purposes of this meeting, so I think it's at least important to summarize it.
Speaking to you all, it would probably take me only between 4 and 5 minutes to read the darn thing. If there's no objection, Susan, would you be comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay, since I don't want
to
waste.
You seem to be the only one who feels strongly about it.
Okay. Let me just go to it, and I'll try to make short shrift of it. First thing is I have some general comments, and that's that I've been putting most of my attention lately on the implementation of Pacifica National Board resolutions so that the network can move in the direction the board would like it to move as smoothly and rapidly as possible. This includes the implementation of national programming policy as well as documented compliance with CPB regulations, et cetera. As our listenership is the way that our Pacifica mission and the aims of this foundation are transmitted to our members and the broad general public, efforts have been made by me to stress that programming changes be instituted rapidly so that we have more people listening. In terms of legal and finance, these matters are continuing to be reviewed and resolved, as mentioned in my last report. In regard to elections, the possibility of conducting a election by email is being explored. I'm also working on planning for ensuring the integrity of our membership lists and the enhancement of our website so that our elections can be as fair and accurate as possible. Our stations and units, and this is not necessarily 100% accurate as it's taken rapidly from rough notes from a regular teleconference that the CFO, myself, the tech director, affiliates director, archives director, and GMs of the five stations have on a weekly or biweekly basis. First of all, KPFA, a telemarketing campaign started on Sunday, March 15th, and is bringing a 23 to 24% return. So it's very successful so far. Two groups are being called, recently lapsed members and those lapsed for 6 months or more. At KPFT, there was a 39th birthday party event on Sunday, which Susan mentioned to you. It did net about $12,000 despite terrible weather. Also, KPFT has redone its budget and they're putting together a more conservative budget, and they expect to end the fiscal year with about $200,000 in the bank, which is about 2 months' operating expenses. Brian DeShazer, the archives director, thanked KPFT for sending 2.5% of its proceeds from the birthday event to the archives. At WBAI, there was a major staff meeting on Tuesday night. WBAI is codifying the new programming procedures. They will evaluate existing programming and the idea that there are specific times of the year when programming changes will be decided around. The group talked about short and long-term program changes. Some of the issues discussed included long-term needs as represented by the Arbitron, such as improving female listenership, Asian-Pacific listenership, and indigenous listenership. Getting out of the house was discussed. For instance, remote broadcasts with the community, taking advantage of existing community structures. Short and long-term, often on-air fundraising ideas were discussed. WBAI hosts have relationships with entertainment businesses around town. Negotiations are ongoing with one large name artist, who shall remain unnamed for the moment, for a concert in late spring. And the process of compiling staff lists at WBAI has begun. At WPFW, there was a programmers meeting without staff in attendance that was very well attended. It was convened by the staff LSB reps on the local board. Ron Pinchback, WPFW GM, is waiting for a report from this meeting. Ron is sending a letter to the programmers detailing what's happening at the station, including the fact that some programming will be preempted during the spring fund drive, and the station will be having some broader discussions about future options regarding the program grid. A town hall meeting happened on Thursday, March 19th, about voting rights in D.C. There will be a Dick Gregory event Sunday, the 29th of March, and 150 people are expected. WPFW is entering in a new agreement with an engineering firm to do triannual maintenance on its transmitter. Sean Heitkemper did not attend this GM meeting, so I don't have any updates for you about KPFK. Ursula Rudenberg, the Affiliates Network director, gave a report. She's been working to add more stations to that network. There's a new affiliate in Wyoming. Their new station has just been built. It looks like we're close to adding an affiliate in Montana as well, and Ursula's making inroads into adding an affiliate station in Australia that's been picking up programming from WBAI. Affiliate station managers have been talking about how we can leverage the network, so there has been a lot of discussion among those station managers about how we can do that. Ursula would like to engage the general managers in Pacifica in a broader discussion about how the affiliate network can be integrated better into the rest of Pacifica to everyone's benefit. the Pacific Archives. Archive staff has been working hard on the Grammy Foundation grant and is using that funding to process 1,200 items, including master tapes and CDs. They have secured an intern for 6 weeks from Austin, Texas, and she'll be working on the LGBT preservation project. There'll be a fundraising event at the Village Gay and Lesbian Center in West Hollywood. Lily Tomlin is on the host committee. The Archives is working with KPFK on a gay pride broadcast. It'll be included in the West Hollywood community calendar. The Archives has recorded a lecture by the screenwriter of Milk. Bob Dylan was introduced to radio in the early 60s at WBAI. I don't know. I didn't know that, actually. On Tuesday, March 17th, the Archives received a copy from a collector of WBAI material of an early interview from 1962 of Bob Dylan, the earliest known recording of Bob Dylan, and is working with Bob Dylan's archivist and publicist. Archives funding is currently abysmal. Sales are a little bit better. Printing material in academic publications brings in small amounts of money, and the Archives received a big order from Renaissance Books. Brian DeShazer, the archive director, thanked Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliates director, for sending data for last summer's carriage report, what archives programming affiliate stations are carrying, in other words. About 17 stations are using the archive show from the vault. In terms of the technical director area, John Almella has been working on internet options and the Pacifica.org and Foundation websites. There are three servers right now. The AudioPort server, the Foundation, and the Foundation site has a number of websites on it, etc. John Almella, the tech director, and staff have plans to combine everything except AudioPort on one server, which will save us money and give us higher speed and more bandwidth. That's it. Okay. I don't know if we have any time left for a question or two. Jamie?
You have 4 minutes.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. This is George. I had a question.
And
okay.
This is Leslie. I have a couple.
The procedure for compiling the staff list at BAI, this question of who's staff and who isn't and how do we know is on the governance committee agenda, and I was wondering if you could tell me more about who's doing the compilation and what kind of procedures they have in place for making that kind of decision.
I have not gotten into, this is just in the planning stage. I've asked the GMs to begin the process of ensuring the integrity of their staff lists and of their membership lists, but no specific action has been done on this except at the station level. So I don't have anything to report about that.
Okay.
And two from here. Where are we on selecting an NES? Are we waiting on the elections committee to do that, or where is that process? And what program changes are you making specifically?
Okay, the second part of the question is first, I don't personally make any programming changes. I have sent the programming policy that was adopted in November by the PNB to the general managers and have requested that they immediately begin making programming changes to improve listenership, and that they send me their suggestions and proposals. That's where it sits at the moment.
Okay.
And the other question about the National Election Supervisor, in compliance with the motion from less than 2 weeks ago in the last PNB teleconference, we will be selecting one National Election Supervisor, and that person may be assisted by a company. The National Election Committee has been working on simply, they put out an RFP, a job description broadly for a vendor or a company to handle the entire election process. But that was overridden by the PNB resolution of last week, so we will be putting out another RFP that I am working on in conjunction with a few members of the National Election Committee. So that will be going out very shortly.
Okay, so you're not working on finding an NES, but you have selected a group to work on the RFP.
I'll be working on the RFP myself in consultation with some people on the National Election Committee.
Does the Election Committee know about that?
Well, they do now, I hope. They should know it because
I don't
think
anyone
motion
on the Election Committee knows about that.
Okay, well,
we have a meeting on Monday, too.
Okay, I'll try to attend that meeting. Obviously, the RFP, most of the responders to the RFP were vendors, not individual people who were asking to be appointed as National Election Supervisor. So that will have to be resolved so that a National Election Supervisor can be hired.
Grace?
Yes.
Really need to come to that meeting and discuss it with the Election Committee. They have done thousands of hours of work on this as it stands, and they don't know any of this. And I'm a little bit taken aback myself. Okay.
Grace Onnestad, Carolyn.
Onnestad. And Bonnie DeSette.
I think we might be out of time for this agenda item. Jamie, where are we?
Grace, this is Jamie. You're at time.
Okay.
Move to extend.
So,
second.
Move to extend by 5 minutes to discuss this election issue.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending this for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
John.
All right. Why don't we take a vote on that then?
Madam Chair, who made that motion?
Bonnie.
I did. There's been ample time. There's been talk all over.
Sean, you're out of order.
Please, and maybe he's the only one and we don't have to vote.
Okay, are there any other objections to extending this?
It doesn't matter if I'm the only one. Let's take
a okay.
Right. Yes, yes.
It takes 5 minutes to take a vote.
Okay, Wendy, are there any other objections? Carolyn?
I had one question, but not for 5 minutes. Ridiculous.
Okay, so there, since there are
point,
two
point of information.
Yes.
Can we take this up in the election committee report?
Good idea. How about that?
Good idea.
Okay. As long as we really get
anyone
to it.
Anyone second that as a substitute motion?
Second.
Okay,
second.
Any objection to that substitute motion?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So. Let's take a vote on the substitute motion.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Could we ask Richard to mute his phone?
Yeah. After you take the roll, Richard, we're voting.
I think I had it muted.
Okay.
Was I singing or something?
Your fingers were.
No, that's not me typing. That's not me typing. That's somebody else.
Oh, I'm
okay.
Sorry. Very good, Richard. Can you please take the roll on, I believe it was George's...
I have to read the motion.
Richard, do you have George's substitute motion?
The motion is to refer discussion of procedures for hiring an NES to the election committee report, the period set aside for the election committee report.
Okay.
Sherry Gendelman.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Joe Wenzala.
Yes.
Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
No.
Rico Ross.
Yes.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Sandra Rawline. Sandra Rawline. Winnie Shrill.
Yes.
Susan
Sorry.
Young. Who is that?
No.
Rawline?
This
Susan
is
Young,
Sandra.
No?
Yeah. I'm a no.
Okay, Sandra, do you know what we're voting on?
Yes, and my vote is yes.
Okay. Nia Beriaco. Nia Beriaco. Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Jim Brown.
No.
A.C. Byrd. Lucette King. David Beaton. Afia Wingaza.
Yes.
That should be 10 to 5.
Okay. So that will be discussed in the election item of this agenda.
I believe I have 6 no's.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I counted 6 no's.
There are.
That's correct. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the interim CFO report.
We're at 9 to 6.
Okay, 10 to 6, I believe. LaVarne, are you on this call? Okay. Has anyone received LaVarne's written report? She promised to send one. I'm not sure she actually did. At any rate, I suggest that we take up LaVarne's report if she shows up on. I know she was traveling to Chicago today, so she may have gotten hung up at the airport. So if it's okay with this body, we'll just take up this report when she gets here. The next thing on the agenda is committee and working group reports, and the first one is the Finance Committee report. Jamie, as the head of the Finance Committee, can you report?
Sure. Let's see. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if I was muted. Okay, yes. Our last meeting was on March 3rd, and the most important item, we reviewed the fund drives for the winter drives, which you all know came in a good deal low, and probably the total shortfall due to these winter drives coming in low is upwards of $360,000 for all stations combined. Could be $400,000. So we developed the following. Alarmed by that news, we unanimously passed this motion, which I forwarded to you before. I can forward it to you one more time. Anyway, the motion is this. It was from Brian Edwards Tiekert. The National Finance Committee requests that all financial units present revised spending plans for the remainder of the fiscal year, along with cash flow forecasts for the rest of the fiscal year, that assume that current fundraising trends persist. These plans should be transmitted to the Chief Financial Officer by March 17, 2009. And this motion passed without objection. The goal of this motion is pretty straightforward. We believe that our income goals that were set forth in the budgets that we passed in September are no longer valid, or may well be no longer valid based on the fact that the winter drive came up so short in all the station areas. So in order to avoid running in a deficit once again, we're requesting that the stations present revised spending plans, revised budgets, and cash flow forecasts that document that. Let's see. This motion was passed with a return date of March 17, 2009. I believe, speaking with LaVarne this morning, she says she has received these plans from KPFT and WPFW, I believe, and I'm not sure that she's received them from the other stations yet. So we would ask you, we would ask the PNB to approve this motion. Okay, also at our at our meeting, we reviewed the results of the winter drive, which, as I mentioned, came up shy. And we also received a report of actuals versus budget for the first 4 months and a balance sheet from the ICFO. This was the first report of actuals versus budget that the board or the NFC has received for this year. So LaVarne reported to you the last time the basics of that, so I'm not going to go over that. But one thing that we did informally in our meeting, you may recall last September when we passed the budget, the board passed a motion requesting that the NFC review WBAI's budget quarterly and monthly. They couldn't decide quarterly or monthly, so they put both. But anyway, this is the first time we got to do that. And this enabled us to do that, so I will walk you through this very quickly. For the first 4 months, the income statement that we received from the CFO shows a shortfall behind the budget of something on the order of $260,000. Some of this is due to the fact it's an artifact. It's not a real shortfall. It's due to the way that the central service revenue income was booked and the way it was written in the budget. It was written in the budget that we get the entire 180-some thousand in October, but the way the money is accrued in the income statement, we get 1/6 of that every month. So we've only gone 4 months, so we've accrued 4/6 of it. But the budget says we get the whole thing. So there's a deficit there of $67,000, which is due to this bookkeeping thing. So that can be subtracted. There's another major difference between the budget and actual expenses that we noted, which is in the rent for the tower. For some peculiar reason, well, if you may recall, BAI's rent for its tower, where we transmit from, is about $340,000 per year, something on that order. And we pay it monthly, so one can pretty much predict what the expense should be. And the budget said we should have spent $110,000 so far in this budget item, which makes sense. That's 1/3 of what the total is. However, the actual says that we've accrued expenses of $203,000. So there's a deficit there of $93,000. I asked our GM for an explanation on this. You know, is this some, as it didn't really make sense to us, but so far we haven't got an explanation on that yet. So anyway, that's another $93,000 part of that deficit. And some of the rest of the deficit, this is through the end of January at BAI, some of the rest of the deficit is due to the fact that the budget assumed that BAI would cut staff starting October 1st, but actually the staff cuts didn't really take place for a month or a month and a half after. So there was extra expenses on the salary line, probably on the order of $35,000 to $40,000. And that overage has ceased because WBAI has made its cuts, and the salary numbers for the month starting January are quite a bit lower. And then whatever's left is probably due to missing fund drive goals for the first part of the year. Now, this is only through January, and as you know, the February drive, BAI missed its goal, like the other stations, most of the other stations, except KPFK, missed its goal by a good deal, missed the pledge goal by $180,000. So that's going to lead to another shortfall at BAI in actual money, which will play out over the next few months. And the last point about BAI is our budget was written so that rental cost would drop by a good deal starting April 1st, with the assumption that we would sublet part of our space. It's not clear that this sublet will actually happen, so if that doesn't happen, then we will incur a deficit versus the budget, a shortfall versus the budget on that line as well. So those are things to look out for in the future. But that's where it stands for BAI through the end of January. And let's see. Actually, I'm not keeping time because I'm talking. So somebody just tell me if I'm going too long. And we also worked on a list of delinquent obligations, which was done in closed sessions. I can forward the board that. And we discussed an emergency cash plan, but we really didn't get very far with that. And we set a next meeting date of March 24th, 8:30, this coming Tuesday. So basically, the one action item for the board is the motion, which I will now forward to you all.
I think it's on the agenda.
Is it? Okay, good.
Bonnie to Stack.
And can you just simply read that motion again, Jamie?
Sure. It says, motion made by Brian Edwards Tiekert. The National Finance Committee requests that all financial units present revised spending plans for the remainder of the fiscal year along with cash flow forecasts for the rest of the fiscal year that assume that current fundraising trends persist. These plans should be transmitted to the Chief Financial Officer by March 17, 2009.
Okay. In the interest of time, let's narrow this discussion right now to this particular motion, and then if we have time left on this agenda item, we can take generalized questions about the finance report. So are the people on the stack, do they wish to speak to this motion?
Yes.
Kathy on the stack, please.
Okay. So Bonnie, was that you?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Jamie, I just didn't quite understand what you said. It would seem to me that if we haven't yet passed this, shouldn't we date this so that date hasn't passed by 3 days?
Okay, I mean, one could amend the motion to say as soon as possible.
I'll just move to amend it. Let's see, this is the 20th. How about...
It'd be nice if they were there by the 24th so we could see them at the next meeting.
By the 24th? You're going to give them 4 days, two of which are a weekend?
Well, they've already been informed of this. If you'd like to make it longer, you know, that's okay, but...
I mean, it just seems like we should give people a week of working time. I'm not privy to what has and hasn't been done. I wasn't aware that with the motion not being passed that it had already gone to them. So, I'll just stick something out there. To amend that to be transmitted to the Chief Financial Officer by March 27th. That's a Friday, next Friday.
Okay. Anyone second that amendment?
I second, Kathy.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll add that amendment to the main motion and go back to discussion of the main motion. Kathy, you were next on the stack.
Actually, what I had to say was just taken care of.
Okay, good. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to this main motion as amended?
Yeah, this is Leslie. I'd just like to make the brief comment that we're not going to find consistency in these decisions that are being made across the network if we turn them over to the GMs. I realize the current situation pretty much mandates that, but I'd like to see more policy decisions in regard to this from the PNB and the CFO.
Okay.
Grace, could I make a comment?
Why don't you make a comment after we dispose of this motion?
Okay.
As it's not really directly about this motion.
Sure.
Okay. Any other discussion about this motion? Is there any objection to this motion as amended? Hearing no objection, this motion as amended is adopted by the PNB. All right, now we're back to discussions. Jamie, you had a comment?
Well, yeah, just a comment with regard to Leslie's comment. I guess what we are doing is sort of walking through the budgeting process once again, which basically starts from the stations. You know, the idea is they know, the stations know what they can and can't do, certainly better than we do. You know, and when we develop budgets, they come from the stations, the GMs and the business managers first. And then we review them, but, you know. The only guidelines that this motion gives is that the new plan should be consistent with current fundraising trends. So, which I guess, you know, could be somewhat open to interpretation, but it's pretty clear that current fundraising trends are lower than expected.
Okay.
Madam Chair, it's Bonnie. I had one more quick question for Jamie, if I could.
Yes, although I assume we must be out of time. So, but go ahead.
Jamie, you mentioned that in executive session on the finance call last time, and I happened to hear that call, that there was a discussion about delinquent obligations, and I realize that we're not speaking about them directly right now on an open call, but can you tell me if the questions that arose during that have, in fact, been answered?
That's a good question. Some of them have. Let's see. I don't have my notes in front of me whether all of them have, but some of them have, which I can forward to the board.
If you would, because those of us not on the finance call don't necessarily get all of your communications, or maybe we do.
Okay. Sure. No, that's a good idea.
Okay. Jamie, I want to ask you, is there anything else that you think it is important to discuss at this point regarding finance?
Well, you know, I believe, if I recall correctly, the balance sheet showed us with $1.1 million in the bank at the end of January, which is about one month operating for the network, which is a very not much of a cash cushion.
And this is after the fund drive.
No, that was before the drive.
Okay, okay.
But it's before the drives when you run out of money, so
That's
really not that's quite low.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to comment on, Jamie?
No, that's all for me.
Okay. And just to let everyone know, the National Finance Committee meets on this Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So anyone who wants to listen in is welcome to. All right. The next agenda item is the Personnel Committee. Sandra, you want to take that up?
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. The Personnel Committee met last night, March the 19th. In attendance were Kathy Davis, Andrea Turner, Rico Ross, myself, and David Beaton as the affiliate director. We passed several motions, and I forwarded all of the motions and the job descriptions that are referenced in the motions to the entire board. I'll go ahead and read them just real quickly. The first one is that the Personnel Committee moves that CFO job description as approved by the 2008 Personnel Committee be reviewed by the PNB and the Interim Chief Financial Officer for approval. The second is Personnel Committee moves that HR Director job description as amended under education and experience to read and a minimum of 3 years experience in human resources field be reviewed by the PNB for approval. And the last one is that the Personnel Committee moves to give permission to Grace Aaron, Acting IED, to hire an interim human resources director not to exceed the budgeted amount in the 2009 budget.
Okay.
Do I hear a second?
Okay, there doesn't need to be a second in committee motions because they've already been worked over by the committee itself. So why don't we take up one motion at a time? Sandra, which one do you wish to take up first? Which is of the highest priority?
Well, let's start with the motion regarding the interim human resources director.
Yes. Who will motivate that?
Well, I would like to move that the PNB give Grace permission to hire an interim human resources director not to exceed the budgeted amount in the 2009 budget.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Okay.
What will be the process for hiring this person?
Sandra, do you want to take this? I think I might have to turn over my chair if I respond.
Right. Well, what was discussed was the utilizing a temp agency or an nonprofit company that provides temporary employees that can link you with temporary employees. but we were leaving that to Grace to make that decision and to implement it as quickly as possible.
If you'd like me to motivate that for a minute or two, I could turn the chair hat over to Joe if he's around. Joe, are you around?
Yes, I am.
Take this over if you need to. Is that sufficient explanation, or does the person who asked the question wish a further explanation?
Yeah, this is Andrea.
Yes.
I thought, Grace and Sandra, that we were going to do this on an interim basis.
That is correct.
It says.
Yeah, well, it needs to say that.
In the motion that I sent out to everybody, it says that the personnel committee moves to give permission to Grace Aaron, acting IED, to hire an interim human resources director, not
okay,
to exceed the budgeted amount in the 2009 budget.
Okay, because I was looking at one that you said. It says personnel moves that the HR director. Oh, okay. I see. I'll yield on that. I got it. Because you sent the job description part motion. I didn't have the other one.
Okay. Thank you.
Sherry on the stack.
Sherry.
Did I understand you to say that you might use a nonprofit firm to help you with the search? I didn't understand that part of the conversation.
Okay. The situation is this. We have not had an HR director since October. There are complaints stacking up. There are other duties that must be where we have no real expertise, either at the station level or levels or the national office level to deal with HR situations. We need a competent interim to handle some HR situations and also just generalized HR functioning. So I simply, as interim ED, do not have the time to put out an RFP for an interim, because I'd probably get at least 60 to 100 applications. The time to read through them and then to interview 10 to 15 people could take 30 to 40 hours of my time. I don't have that time. The personnel committee, if they did it, they probably would come up with a permanent HR director, hopefully within several months. But we need an HR director now. I don't know if I would be using a temp agency, because I don't know if the quality of an HR director coming from a temp agency would be worth it, because we have had we've spent a lot of money in the recent past on HR lawsuits. I think it's penny wise and pound foolish to not immediately get as competent an HR director as we can, and then to rapidly move forward through the personnel committee to hire a well-vetted, well-interviewed, and competent permanent HR director. So that is my proposal. I prefer to go through a nonprofit that is familiar with what we would need rather than do just take our chances on getting somebody from a temp agency or some other way of doing it.
So
that's my judgment about what is best for the foundation.
Okay, my question was, which that didn't exactly answer, was, is it your intention to hire or retain a firm to do the search?
Yes.
Then I would say that there is a financial impact that has to be presented to the board, particularly because the contract itself for the search for the HR would not have been budgeted, as opposed to the position for HR, which is budgeted.
Okay, so are you suggesting that, let's say that the...
It's just an observation, Grace, that we have a budget. In the budget, there was no provision for this particular expense. The operating procedures of Pacifica that are that, given that the budget has been passed and the expense of the search as opposed to the allocation for the job not having been included,
have to have a financial impact report to the board.
Okay, so I would say that I already did this preliminarily, and the financial impact would be $1,500. I think that it would be in our best interest to accept that as a nominal fee to hire someone rapidly, because putting this off for 2 weeks or a month before it, while it goes through the finance committee and back to the board as a whole, we're courting problems. And right now, more money is being spent. If I need to use our interim general counsel for HR problems, which is actually what's happening now, that's the least cost-effective route to go.
Second that motion.
I can't really make a motion myself, but if you want to make a motion yourself,
Sean. Right,
Sean,
now you're a member of the board. You're not in the chair. The chair is being handled by the vice chair. You're a member of this board. I think you can make a motion.
There's already a motion. George, point of order.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's already a motion on the floor. It's to give Grace permission to go ahead and do what she's been describing. All we have to do is vote it up or down.
Right.
Okay, good.
I'd like to move to amend based on some things that Grace said that I think may be helpful here. I'd like to move that we amend it to say that the IED send to the PNB a comparison of her IHR's appointments resume to the HR job description finalized by the PNB.
Leslie, I don't understand that. Can you explain what you
sure.
mean?
Sure. I'm hoping that we can get somebody who comes very close to the job description that we're going to be discussing. And I'd like to have the confidence of knowing that the person you appoint meets most of those requirements.
Of course.
So
okay, so
comparison of the resume to the job description, that would be helpful.
Is there a second for Leslie's motion?
Second.
Leslie, can you hear me? This is Richard. You need to send that to me, please.
On its way.
Okay, just hold on. I mean, how much time do we have for this item already? How much time has passed, Jamie?
You have 2 minutes left.
Okay. We may need that to extend. Do you want to move to extend to add anyone? You want to add time? Because we'd have to have now a discussion on the amendment before we can move to a vote, unless people want to move to a vote directly.
Let's move to a vote.
I still don't understand this, Sean. Am I recognized?
Yes, you're recognized, Sean.
Yeah, I still don't understand the meaning of the amendment. What purpose does it serve?
If I can answer, it'll give us all some assurance that the HR person is indeed qualified here. You know, to hire an attorney is one thing. They've passed the bar, and we did an extensive interview on that process. We saw LaVarne's resume. I think it's only fitting that we have that same confidence in our interim HR person.
Joe, can I have a second just to clarify this?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
The quick search for competent HR director is being done based on the job description.
Okay. So it seems to me... Okay, I shouldn't argue. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that clarification. Does that help, Leslie or Sean?
Yeah, I have full faith in our interim executive director to make a good choice that will keep Pacifica alive.